Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football Sunday is brought to you by New England Recovery Center in Westboro and by Kubota Tractor and the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. Time now for WEEI Football Sunday with Andy Gresh, Christian Arcand, and Mike Cadlick. Now, WEEI Football Sunday.
Well, at least we don't have to sit around until 4:25. We've only got to sit around until 4:05 for the later kick, where the Patriots play an important game. It's a crossroads game, I think, for both the Patriots and the Raiders. Arcand is here. Cadlick is
Hello.
Here.
Hello. Yep.
Again, we don't have to wait till 4:25. We find out that Malik Cunningham has not only been elevated to the regular 53-man roster, but he gets a three-year sign-him-now-while-he's-cheap contract that the Patriots link in to Malik Cunningham. So how does he fit today, if he's even active at all? Because just because you're on the 53 doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be active, but with wide receiver injuries, I figure that Cunningham would be. What's Malik Cunningham being elevated all about, Arcand?
I think it is the Patriots taking my advice from last week. They're a week late, and I'll forgive them for that. You know, sometimes genius takes a while to figure out. But I was begging for some sort of trickery, some sort of gadget plays, some sort of, I don't know, moving the quarterback around, maybe a package or two for someone like Cunningham who can use his feet and maybe even do some trick plays himself. Anything, really. Anything to spark the offense. I think we're maybe like hovering on the brink of something else. I know you just said this is a crossroads game, Gresh, mm-hmm. and I agree with you. I mean, it's maybe not important for the season. I feel like this season's slipping through everyone's fingers here. But in terms of the future of Mac Jones on this team, the future of maybe Bill Belichick, I think there's a lot on the line here, and they're finally getting to that kitchen sink game that I was hoping for last week.
Yeah, I don't see Cunningham and Mac Jones being correlated at all. Cadlick, where are you at on this?
They need a spark. I mean, look, the offense has scored 3 points combined in the last two games. There's nothing going, and it's not all the quarterback's fault. And
right.
We'll get to that later, because that's my sort of big takeaway here from, you know, watching college football yesterday and watching, you know, what's gone on in general, that it might be offensive line that's the more important position in football than quarterback.
How right dare you insinuate that?
Yeah, right. But
it's all about wide receivers, by God.
But yeah, I mean, again, Cunningham, you're right, Gresh, too, about there's a chance he might not even be active, because they signed him. It wasn't just the game day elevation type mm-hmm. of thing with the practice squad. He's here for the relative long run, if you want to look at it that way. And so they need something. They need a change of pace. They need to, you know, stop hitting their head against the wall and trying to do something that's clearly not working. So, you know, get them a couple plays, get them running, and see what they can do. Maybe
well,
get a spark.
And this is really where it comes down to is, I don't think this happens with Cunningham in them thinking, okay, he's playing quarterback this week. This feels like more of the Juju Smith-Schuster is out. And if we are to believe Bill O'Brien, so unless Bill O'Brien ran some subterfuge earlier this week when he did his press conference and Malik Cunningham came up and he mentioned, yeah, he's primarily worked at wide receiver. That's why I wonder if the spark Arcand is tied into trying to get Cunningham out there and put him in the role that we all kind of thought Juju Smith-Schuster was going to be in. Because when Juju came here, I thought he was going to be the slot guy. And it feels like that's where Cunningham would have the ability to maybe ignite this team a little bit. Don't put him outside. Let him work in between the numbers and do the catch and run stuff.
I'd be all into that if there were, hadn't been many people this year that I think made Juju Smith-Schuster look good. But Malik Cunningham in those preseason games at wide receiver couldn't get open. He couldn't run a route. I mean, he couldn't do anything. Uh-huh. I did not have any faith in him as a wide receiver. I think if that's how they're using him, that's really desperate. They could have probably signed the guy off the street maybe that would have had a little bit more to offer, I'd say, at the wide receiver position than Cunningham would. I'd be disappointed if that's what they're using him for. If he's just going to be Juju Smith-Schuster's replacement or the third slot receiver down the depth chart, I feel like that's a waste of a guy who can give you something extending plays as a quarterback, who could be maybe more of a playmaker. And again, you know, this is all, I think, based on the idea that Mac Jones is not the quarterback at the end of this game. You know, like that something happens or he has a bad start and they pull him and they decide, you know what, we have to start getting really creative here and let's try Cunningham. Let's see what he's got.
Doesn't that just perfectly summarize where this team is right now? It's week six. The Juju Smith-Schuster, who has been a terrible signing here, now out with a concussion, that we're sitting here trying to talk ourselves into the undrafted quarterback they signed to come in and be the spark plug, not at quarterback, but at slot receiver, who, like you said, Arkan, has been had not been a great wide receiver during camp.
Well, and if there's going to be no DeMario Douglas in this game,
right,
and I figure that both of those, both Juju and Douglas were out in the concussion protocol, all right, so then in the slot, who do they have?
Right.
Like, that's where I think that I don't think it's quarterback at all, because there's still Will Greer's still going to be active, right? Or Zappy.
Right.
Somebody is going to be active.
I think there's a good chance
we
see. So
you didn't bring Cunningham up just to let him sit to be the possible third guy in case you get down 28-2.
No, but Booty and Tyquan Thornton are both back today. And so, you know, if we're worried about losing wide receivers, there's at least two bodies there. You wouldn't need Cunningham's.
The way that Rappaport's reporting on this whole quarterback situation this morning, I feel like there's a chance that there is four active quarterbacks for the Patriots today. And Mac, Zappy, Greer, not as the emergency guy, but on the active, you know, 47-man roster. And then Malik Cunningham is your gadget.
Yeah, that's why right now I can't see Cunningham factoring in a quarterback,
right,
only because they've got all those other people there. And if that were the case, then that would be an insane waste of roster spots.
Right.
Like, if the whole plan is to eventually get Cunningham in a quarterback anyway, then one of those quarterbacks should hit the chopping block,
right,
if not maybe even both of them. That's why I just wonder about the whole correlation. And unfortunately, we are not going to get inactives until 2:35. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be long gone off of WEEI before the inactives come out, and see how the Patriots are going to tie all of this together from a roster standpoint.
Let me just ask you this, Gresh. If you think that the plan today maybe is more of Cunningham at wide receiver, mm-hmm, what do you think of the contract extension? They're not extending him to be the slot receiver, I don't think.
Well, I don't rule it out, because they've given no indication in scout team practices or anything like that. There's no buzz that this guy's been running the offense. There's no buzz that this guy's been running things on scout team. And if so, you're running someone else's stuff. I just don't know how the Patriots would be able to, now that we've gotten into season, to be able to give Malik Cunningham enough seasoning at quarterback to be able to put him into a game that, in theory, you are trying to win.
So my understanding on the Cunningham thing, at least for this week, and it's been reported a few places, Jeff Howe and then also Ian Rappaport, was that it might not be Cunningham necessarily running the offense as Mac Jones would, but rather like a spark plug package.
Not, yeah.
Like, well, yeah, no, but you get the gist. Like a sort of like a wildcat package where, you know, he is taking the snap. He's not necessarily sitting back there, you know, five-step drop throwing the football, but, you know, get a guy in motion, run it up the middle type thing. So it might not be, like you said, quarterback, but it may be wildcat quarterback.
Well, and that's the thing where I wonder with Cunningham if that's where even just the threat of him being able to do something with his arm,
right,
and then you get him in motion and you move him around a little bit. And that's where I wonder if some of the creativity is going to come, that if you can get a couple of early plays with him, then do you move him around in the fear of? But look, it's nice. It's nice to have a gadget player. Mm-hmm. And gadget plays work if you're down 28-3. So that's why for me,
the Patriots often are this year.
But yeah, that's the thing. Like this whole Malik Cunningham thing, you know, this is nice and it's cute, and hopefully there is a spark. But if all of a sudden it's like, oh, this guy's the starting quarterback, then it feels like we're back to Zappe again. Oh, yeah, Zappe started, and he played a whole second half, and they ran real plays with him, and he threw two picks for under 100 yards and ran them off the field. Like, that's where I don't want to get them to, because then it's like, oh, wait, you broke glass in case of emergency for this?
Right.
That's why I wonder about the quarterback thing. It just doesn't make sense. On our camp, I think for the Patriots, they look to get as many people as cheap as they can. If they've got the leverage, they're going to use it. It's the same thing with Cunningham. Let's sign him to an entry-level deal. We'll put him on the active roster. He'll be happy he's now making 700 grand. And then if it happens, it does. If not, it's not like Juju, where it's looking like by the time this year ends, Juju Smith-Schuster, unless something picks up, they're going to eat the money, and that guy ain't going to be here, which is a part of the reason why I wonder if they sign Cunningham, knowing they're going to have to eat it with Juju, so go get me a cheap guy that I can have on the roster. Typical and Bill Belichick.
That is typical Bill Belichick. I would just say this. You do have some other rookies, sixth-round picks, who have shown you something already, and maybe if you're looking to replace your wide receiver, you'd look to extend one of them. I think if it's Cunningham, and the reason why he's getting it is because they're looking a little bit down the path of the future, you don't have to extend those
guys, because they signed an entry-level deal for multiple years coming in because
that's
they were
true.
Drafted.
Right. And they
Whereas
made the
with
team.
Cunningham,
right.
yeah, and they made the team. And with Cunningham, he was just here on a 1 year, and then setting him up is
right.
It's essentially.
But they like what they see from him, I guess. They like what they've seen.
There's no doubt. And, you know, Kayshon Booty, I don't know. I'm not feeling it with him. And with Pop Douglas right now, I thought he was a nuanced enough route runner to not be running into people,
right.
which did turn into 40-yard gains. It's like, get him out there. It's like, well, he banged into his own player. Like, he kind of got lucky on the crosser. I thought he would be a much better route runner than what he's been, and now it doesn't look like Pop Douglas is even going to be out there today.
Yeah, and the Booty thing's interesting, too, Arcan, with, like, you know, talking about they might have four quarterbacks on the roster today, and they might have to, you know, use Malik Cunningham. Booty's been an active inactive for the last 3 weeks after, you know, four targets and no receptions in week one. And now it's crowded again. He clearly hasn't impressed enough to get on the field because he has been healthy scratched. So I don't know what his situation is. I don't think they like what they've seen from him. I think they probably like what they've seen from Cunningham a lot more than him.
Well,
so.
And I ask this, what do we expect from Tyquan Thornton?
Right.
He got out there. He gets back on the injured report because of a shoulder. It didn't seem like it was that big a deal. But for me, it's more of the, how do they sort of use this guy within this offense? I don't even know if we've seen enough of the offense to be able to guess how they could put Tyquan Thornton in.
And with the shape of the room now, with Juju and Douglas already out this week, Thornton has to come in right off injured reserve and have to probably play a big role today in a lot of snaps.
Yeah, although Devontae Parker plays the entire game every week, so who knows. But yeah, I'm interested in seeing if Thornton provides anything. This is probably the team to do it against. You know, this is the secondary and sort of a pass defense that has some guys. It's maybe a little, I think the way it's been talked about this week, it's starting to get underrated. But right now, you know, it's a team you can score on. And Thornton's a guy who's just a burner. And let's just see if Mac Jones can connect with him. I think that'd be a real nice sort of spark to the offense and something that they need. He's also a guy maybe using a gadget play, you know, that type of thing. If you're doing trickery, trying to get someone open downfield, he's the guy who can do it. The question is, can Mac hit him? You know?
I think for me, the biggest thing is you got to run the ball. They've got to figure out how to lean on this Raiders defense to get back to trying to balance it out on some level. Riley Reif, I'm sure he's in the lineup today.
He's out.
He's
on
out.
Travel.
So he's out.
Ruled out Friday.
Onwenu doesn't look good right now. Yeah. So no Reif. Onwenu is, what, did he
questionable.
Travel?
Questionable. He
traveled.
He's right, there.
So he might be a game time.
Yep.
Cole Strange hasn't practiced in a
while.
Strange
is out.
All right. So now we're so now
it's tough sledding up front.
Well, so now it looks like it's either Vidarian Lowe or what, City So or Calvin Anderson or what the hell at right tackle.
And I think at least this week what they're going to have is continuity from last week because it's going to be the same offensive line. Because
mother of God.
Yeah, because Reif is out, so he won't get plugged into the lineup. Cole Strange is out, so it's going to be Antonio Mafi at left guard again.
And if Onwenu can't go, who grabs that right guard spot?
It's got to be Lowe, right? Who else is even there?
Maybe they bump Lowe inside and play Anderson at the right, or it's going to have to be like a City So might take the guard spot.
I was going to say, City So might have to be the backup there. Well, I mean, I wonder if it gets to the point to where You got to put Jake Andrews in and move David to right guard. I mean, it's weird to say that, but when you start to work through the interior options right now, once Moffy gets plugged into the starting lineup, you really lose, in a way, your swing guard.
My understanding is that Onwenu coming out of the game last week was precautionary. They were in a route. He was banged up. They took him out. I think he'll be okay today. So what I...
They need him then.
What I project is Trent Brown at left tackle, Moffy at left guard, Andrews at center, Onwenu at right guard, and Vidarian Lowe at right tackle.
And
run
Zeke
it up
Elliott's
like that.
The swing tackle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know
Farrell
what?
Brown.
Yeah, Farrell Brown.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Seriously, get
Farrell
him in there,
Brown
protect Matt.
Is gonna, there's no doubt about it. And at this point, you're running the ball so poorly, just put the sixth lineman in at this point. What's the point of trying to dress it up with tight ends or wide receivers or whatever? Just call it out and say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to knock you back. We're going to be better than you. You got to deal with Max Crosby. He was all over the field over the past 2 weeks and moving him all over the place a la Micah Parsons. Mm-hmm. So having to find that guy is a big part of today's game. We will get into the biggest game-related storylines coming up with our presented by our friends at Cars for Kids. Coach Wiggins, key to the game. We got Tom Kern with us at 11. The Reverend's in at 11:25 for his breakdown. We'll get you set up with some fantasy thoughts, as well as the inactives will come out at 11:30 for the early games. Christian Foyer is with us at noon. We'll go around the NFL, a couple of picks and a prop, and what feels like a very big one for the Patriots out in Las Vegas against the Raiders. Here is Bridget. She is ready to trend.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEI and WEI.com. It's game day for the Patriots, who are on the road in Las Vegas to play the Raiders. A 4:05 kickoff as the Patriots pursue their second win of the season. Some changes for the Pats roster. Tyquan Thornton has been activated off the IR and added to the 53-man roster. Malik Cunningham is also on the 53-man roster today after signing a new 3-year contract. Matt Judon and Tyrone Wheatley have officially been placed on IR. And around the NFL, another London game this morning that started at 9:30 a.m. between the Ravens and the Titans. Right now, 6-3 Ravens to start the second quarter, airing on WEI AM 850 if you want to tune into that. And for the 1 o'clock games, the 49ers look to remain undefeated as they head to Cleveland. And on the other hand, Carolina looking for their first win of the season down in Miami as they face the 4-1 Dolphins. The Bills play the Giants at home for Sunday Night Football, and Monday night the Chargers and the Cowboys round out week 6 of the NFL season. The Bruins won their second game of the season last night against the Nashville Predators. James Van Riemsdyk scored twice and David Pastrnak scored on a penalty shot. 3-2 the final score. Up next for the Bruins, they head out west for a 4-game road trip starting in San Jose Thursday night, a late one at 10:30 p.m. Two more preseason games left for the Celtics. Tuesday, the Seas play at home against the Knicks, and Thursday, they close out the preseason schedule with a road game in Charlotte. The Celtics start regular season play Wednesday, October 25th, at the Knicks at 7 p.m. And following our Patriots pregame coverage here on WEI, we will carry the Colts at...
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jaguars game starting at 1 p.m. I'm Bridget Prue, and that's what's trending now on WEI, WEI.com.
We're back to WEEI Football Sunday on WEI.
Time for the storylines heading into the Patriots and the Raiders, and it is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Old car giving you problems? Why not donate it? Call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS today. Let me ask this, and I know the Reverend might get to this a little bit later on. Does the way the game ended last year tie into this year?
I think yes. Just because it was such an iconic moment. It was one of those games that no one's ever seen a game end that way, and it's stuck in everyone's head, really kind of burned into everyone's memory.
Have you ever seen anything like that?
I have not either, and no one has, and that's why everybody remembers it so much. Not to mention it's the Patriots and the Raiders. There's been a ton of great endings between these two teams, going all the way back to, you know, Sugar Bear, Hamilton, and, you know, the Snow Bowl game and everything else. So I'd say, yeah, that definitely is going to carry over. It's going to get brought up a lot, I'm sure, during the broadcast, even though, you know, the Chandler Jones thing is not exactly too funny these days.
But
I definitely think it does.
It'll get brought up. It adds another wrinkle because it was Jacoby Myers, who is now in Vegas, and he's played there, you know, this whole season, and it was in that stadium. That was the last time, all that stuff. But as the game goes on, and, like, I don't think it really has anything to do with, you know, what's going to happen between the lines on the field. Like, I don't think it's going to carry over.
I thought it would have got brought up more this week, and it really didn't. And I thought there were two sort of stories that I think got kind of pushed to the side. One is that the whole, because normally around here, good Lord, I mean, we still lament the fact that Tim Wakefield gave up a home run to Aaron Boone, even though they turn around and won it the next year, right? So it's one of those endings that you figure would have been brought up, would have been a part of the narrative. And the other thing, Arcan, that I know you had some thoughts on this, that didn't gain really a ton of traction this week was someone in Mac Jones' camp making comments about what's around him.
Yeah,
I don't know if people just didn't take it seriously. I didn't put much into it because it's like, Mac's got people? What? Like, and they're going to, the guy who's afraid to say anything, and it was like, I don't know. It just didn't really connect. But I got to say, for a city and a region that normally loves that kind of stuff, it ran hot for about 10 minutes, and that was it. Are you kind of surprised that Moore didn't run with this?
Well, I did. I asked Mac about it. I asked Mac about it on Monday, and I sort of gave him the chance to, because I knew it was going to get attached to him. And so I said, you know, here's your chance to either say what you got to say about this and this report that came out. And I don't think McKenna just pulled that quote out of thin air. I don't think he made it up. You know, I'm sure someone around Mac. Mac does have people. He's a quarterback in the NFL. They all got people. And I'm sure someone said that. And I'm sure that that's, you know, that's the way a lot of them feel. I'm sure that's probably how Mac feels. And he'd never say it. And he denied it when we asked him about it, which I certainly expected him to do. But, yeah, I think that there's, in part because he denied it so quickly, and also because, you know, everyone kind of agrees with that. I think everyone sort of agrees that he has trash around him, and maybe he's not playing well this year, but it's hard to expect anyone to be good with these type of people to throw to.
Maybe that's what it is that there are a lot of people that are agree, and then it's like, oh, well, I guess if you put me with Matt Patricia for 17 games, I'd cuss too.
And I think he did a good job, like you said, at squashing it too. You asked him about it on the show. They asked him about it. I think it got brought up once down there this week with him, and he basically said, yeah, I don't feel like that. He mentioned a lot in his Wednesday press conference about communication. I have to be a better communicator. you know, I have to not only on the field, but off the field. You know, I want to have fun again. I got to be with the guys. Like, he used the word communicate, I think, like 10 or 15 times in his Wednesday presser. My take on that was they talked about what was said in the locker room, and whether it, you know, was true or not, or whether Max started the rumor, who knows? But I have a feeling that someone said to him, look, if you're going to call us garbage to our face. Mm-hmm. Communicate with us and tell us, look, you need to do this better and why. And don't go out and give it to somebody else who's going to leak it to the media, where, you know, we need to be involved. We need to stay together in this. So I feel like communication now from Mac is the big sort of talking point with him. And that's why he brought that
up. Yeah, it's interesting because I didn't really completely grasp the concept of the whole, wait, what is he talking about with communicating more? Mm-hmm. Is it getting more on his teammates? Is it getting more, yeah, just vocal out there as the leader, whether you're playing well or not? It's the, I got to try to get us going in the right direction. Lord knows play the past 2 weeks has been trying to make a play, playing outside of himself, all that kind of stuff. And I wonder if it's one of those deals where Mac is kind of feeling it a little bit. And if there were people that were really pissed at Mac or thought that, oh no, this guy's fooling everyone, he's the problem, like a Russell Wilson type deal.
Right.
Like, even when they were winning, Percy Harvin was like, yo, dude, a poser. Like, don't get behind this guy, right? And they shipped Harvin out of town, and now 10 years later, it's like Percy was right.
Yeah.
And they're printing those shirts up. If there were people in there that were really grinding on Mac, or if he was grinding on them, I would think that that would have been the place where somebody who was invested, like if Trent Brown wanted to speak up, come on.
Yeah, right.
However, if it were like a real veteran leader who'd been around and been like, no, we don't feel that way, everybody's going to, there would have been a way to send a message to Mac if I think players took it seriously. I got the sense that no one down there really put all that much weight into
Unless you look at that Herald article that came out this week where it all but said, according to inside sources, and they said team sources, so I don't know if that's coach, players, whatever, but a lot of people have lost faith in Mac Jones. A lot of people don't believe in him anymore in that building. And that's, again, I mean, reports, and people didn't put their names on those quotes, but there was a whole lot of quotes, you know. There was a lot of material there. There was a lot of ammunition, and I feel like that may have been from Bill or maybe from some of the other players.
If it was from Belichick, he wouldn't be playing. Let's just call that right now. Like, I don't think Belichick
Belichick in that.
I would completely agree with that because Bill's got the magic. Bill has the magic wand. It's called the eraser.
Yeah.
All he's got to do is erase his name out of the starting lineup and write someone else in there. That would have been an easy way for Bill to fix it. It will be interesting to see if there's any interaction on the sidelines between veterans. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking like Devontae Parker, Trent Brown, Andrews, people like that, towards Mac at some point in this game. Like, more than ever after those comments, if anything else, I'll be looking more at the sideline interactions and see if there really is anything there. Because if it starts to go bad, that's where, to me, the emotion of the moment should start to come out.
And being at some of the, at least the home games and down in MetLife as well, when I was there, like, you know, half the time, especially when the, you know, the team and the play on the field isn't that great, I find myself peeking, like you said, Gress, to the sideline and see who's talking to what. Is somebody blowing up? Is anything happening? Is O'Brien upset? Is it like, you know, I look for those things. And what I've noticed from Mac Jones all season long is after the play, he goes to the bench, he sits down, grabs his tablet, O'Brien's next to him. He doesn't really talk to anybody else. He doesn't get on anybody. He doesn't tell people, you know, you're doing this right. Let's do this. He kind of just gets in his own world, stays in the tablet, and figures out what to do, what I need to do right, what I need to do wrong. And I think that might have to do with it, too. You know, let's talk and let's figure this out together instead of maybe you just going in your own little silo and, you know, trying to figure out on your own.
No doubt. And I didn't think that would be as big a problem with Bill O'Brien. And maybe Billy O is okay with that. Maybe there is the whole talking in the ear or whatever. After the play of the quarterback, a lot of talk about the turnover ratio. The quarterback in the offense has been a big part of it, but only two turnovers for the Patriots defense to this point this year. Why?
Well, I think in part you've played some good offenses, offenses that don't turn the ball over that much. I think that's been a part of it for sure. You got some disciplined teams out there with good offensive coordinators who have quarterbacks that just take care of the ball. I think that's a big part of it right off the top. The other reason is because your entire secondary is decimated, so you're not getting any interceptions, and your pass rush without Judon and you know, some other guys not really stepping up in his absence isn't putting a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. Derek Carr had all day and night to throw last week. Mm-hmm. And that was when they knew, you know, it's a blowout here. Get after him. Do what you can do. And he had a very, very easy day. If this defense can't get any pressure and their backup third string, fourth string corners can't keep up with the wide receivers, they're not going to get any turnovers. They're going to have to hope Brendan Schooler goes out there and blocks a kick or something. That's the only way they can do it.
Yeah, it's the injuries, Arcan, like you said, and then it's also they go down in these games so fast, and they fall down 14, 17, 20, 25, nothing, whatever it is. And at that point, like last year, they were making, you know, they would turn the ball over at the perfect time, down seven, make a play, score a touchdown, tie the game, and keep them in all these games. But now they're in it, down in it so early, it's like, you know, they're not chomping at the bit to try and make a play. It's just like, all right, we're down. And it feels like the effort, because I'm not going to sit here and say that they're not putting in all their effort, but it doesn't look like they're as, you know, bought in to go try and make a play. They're just sort of sitting there on defense and trying to keep everything in front of them.
I do think there is an element of that. And against Miami, they did a great job with it. You know, against the Jets, they really did the same thing that they would normally do against Zach Wilson. He just did a better job of not throwing it to him. He actually kind of remained patient in what turned into a slog. I think the other thing, too, is that when you get in games that are tilted, you're really not going to get a lot of turnovers. Right. And I think the last 2 weeks, it definitely hurt the defense's ability because of the way the scores got. But there were some people that we thought we were going to be able to count on defense to be disruptors up front who have now got to start to show up. Been waiting for Christian Barmore to flash. We have not seen that yet this year.
Josh Uche.
I was just going to say, I'm so out on the Uche Winovich crap from years ago. Oh, my God. It feels like both of those guys are tied together, and I don't know. Has Uche made a flash play this year?
I haven't seen it.
Do you know he has 2 sacks?
Does he?
Yeah, supposedly.
I haven't seen it.
He has one stats. In the Eagles game, I think, right?
That sounds right.
On the opposite of
Judon. I only remember one out of the two, so that'll tell you something.
But that's a guy that you figured that was going to step up and have a role and know, and Keon White's going to play a little more. They do need people up front. Mm-hmm. J.C. Jackson is back. How big a thing is that, if for anything else, to have a body that you kind of trust back there? I mean, listen, he's not, you know, he's no longer peak J.C. Jackson, I don't think. But it's a guy that they at least know, is he a difference maker today? Or is it, thank God he's here, even if he isn't a difference maker, it's an adult out there, not Miles Bryant?
I didn't notice him much in the Saints game. I don't know if he was out there for any big scores or big play. You might remember better than me, Mike, but I don't recall him. And that's a good thing, I think, right? If you don't remember him, then he probably didn't have some big busted coverage or something like that. So he was okay. We'll see. This is also now a offense and a coach and a team and an entire, you know, sort of organization that knows all about J.C. Jackson and what his limitations may be. They also played against him last year when he was on the Chargers.
50% of the snaps last week. He played 36 snaps, which is more than I thought.
I'd say that the Raiders, if they pick on anybody, and that's a big ask because it's the Raiders and it's Jimmy Garoppolo. He doesn't exactly pick on people. But if they're going to pick on someone, it would probably be J.C. Jackson. If there's going to be a team that would pick on him, it would be this team.
Yeah, I wonder, how do the Raiders attack this Patriots defense? Like, because, you know, they've got Hunter Renfrow, who right now is going to make, I think, on the year, $1 million a catch. Mm-hmm. Because his production has been down. The tight ends, Jimmy Garoppolo apparently asked this week, let's get Mike Mayer involved more in this offense. So that's at least put that on the radar. And then you have a real stud, tried and true wide receiver in Davante Adams out there on the outside. But they can also run the ball as well. Now,
not this year.
Well, I was going to say where the Patriots and the Raiders are very similar is up front, they have not been good. Probably two of the five worst offensive lines in the NFL, if not two teams that are in the bottom quarter of the NFL in terms of offensive lines. So how do you go after the Patriots defensively?
Well, I look at it, and it's Davante Adams is your number one, bona fide, one of the top five receivers, stud in the NFL. And, I mean, who do you use on this Patriots defense to cover him and kind of lock him up, quote-unquote, one-on-one? Because it would have been Christian Gonzalez, and they would have gave him that matchup. Mm-hmm. He's gone. Jonathan Jones is back, but Jonathan Jones is not exactly a put him on that one side and cover him up. So you got to find a way to stop him. And then it also turns into Jacoby Myers, who I'm going to look at Jacoby all day today because I really do think that he might be able to burn them. I think he obviously has he has a an axe to grind with them. I think Josh McDaniels would like to get him involved too. And then, you know, when it comes down to it, it's going to be Miles Bryant on Jacoby Myers probably in the slot, unless they want to use John Jones on him. And I'm sure they're not going to go man to man across the board. They're going to zone it up because, again, you don't want to subject yourself to a one-on-one with Devontae Adams.
But I feel better about, one-on-one with Myers, and then you throw the rest of everybody else at Adams. Yeah.
Adams. That's sort of what it feels like. But, again, if you get your one-on-one with Jacoby, I think he might be able to burn you this week.
Well, I know there's been a ton of Jacoby Myers talk this week. One, the expectations going into today, but also, two, he would have helped this offense. He wouldn't have fixed it. But he would have helped. How do you see the Jacoby Myers story today?
I think the Jacoby Myers story today is one that is somehow he's become the poster child, I think, for all the dysfunction and everything that's gone wrong here in New England. And he's become that while playing so far away in a different division and not really intersecting much with the Patriots and their schedule. But every week it seems like he's making a play. He scored a couple of touchdowns. He's got all these yards. You know, the games that they've won, he's made a big impact. And the Patriots have, you know, early on in the year anyway, come up one or two drives short. And one first down short of getting in the field goal range or maybe, you know, completing a drive at the end of the game. I've heard people this week say, you know, if Myers was on the team and they didn't do that thing with Schuster, then nothing would be any different. And I just don't know how you can say that. I mean, maybe it wouldn't be, but you have a most reliable receiver on the roster. He would be for sure. The most chemistry already with Mac Jones. And when you were one drive away from, tying it up with Philly or staying in that Miami game, I don't know how you can say it would have made no difference whatsoever. Those were close games. These last two games, he wouldn't have made a difference because they got their ass kicked. But early on in the year, this may have been a different start to the year if you had Jacoby Myers. I really believe that. I think that's going to come up a lot.
Jacoby Myers is thriving in Vegas as a number two receiver behind Devontae Adams. The plan of attack for the Patriots should have been keep Jacoby Myers as your security blanket, you know, veteran guy with Mac Jones who he has trust in. And then go get a number one
wide
receiver.
Bring
somebody else in. And not Juju Smith-Schuster. Like a Hopkins. Like a
real
a real wide receiver. And they just didn't do it. Instead, they swapped out, you know, a decent number one in Jacoby. He's not a decent number one. He's not a number one wide receiver. But somebody who you trust for Juju Smith-Schuster. And you just ran it back. And you're in no man's land once again at wide receiver. Jacoby is thriving as a number two. He should be here as the number two behind a number one, and that's just not what they did, and that's why we sit here. So he wouldn't have made a difference here as the number one. But if they made, you know, if they made a move in Kevin as number two, that's the move they should have made.
Or if they had proven that they could, because there was one thing we thought this Patriots offense would be able to do, and that'd be run the ball.
Right.
That's something that shouldn't be a problem. If Myers is here when they're running the ball, then yes, he kind of plays up a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you're putting him out there with Devontae Parker and Tyquan Thornton or whatever combination of even if you take Juju out, right? And you just say, all right, take Juju out of all those sets and put Myers in there, it'd make all of us feel better. But you're right, he's not Devontae Adams.
Right.
He's not going to be able to do it on his own. It definitely would have helped, and it would have been security blanket. And that might have been something good for Mac Jones, but I can't. At this point now, almost 20 games from putting Matt Patricia in there as the offensive coordinator, I cannot figure out the Belichick mind F with Mac.
Me either.
I don't know what the point of it is.
They've ruined him.
I don't know. I'm starting to think that too. And I'm on Mac Island.
Me
and
too.
I'm starting to think that, oh my God, because in all honesty, have you ever played a board game with somebody that got so mad that they just went like this?
Whoa, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Wiped everything off, right?
My little brother beat me in chess once, and that board was all across the room.
But it feels like we are probably five games away from the Patriots really deciding we're just going to do that. We're just going to knock them all off the board, and then some we'll place back on because we want them. And it feels like it might just be a massive start over from start to finish.
I think we're even closer than five games. I think this is a turning point game in this season. You just lost two games by 34 and 35 points. If you go into this game and you lose again by 35 points, how do you not start over and rip it and gut it down as soon as next week? There's no hope after lose by 35.
Well, the problem is that when you're still this year stacking the same pieces, you're just mad knocking them over.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of it more in the 30, because I think down there in Gillette, they might look at it and be like, Can we do better than Trent Brown? Can we figure out how to motivate him? Because on paper, the guy looks like somebody you really want on your team.
Right.
But are you at the point to where you're really ready to rip the Band-Aid off on guys like that?
Hey, as look, DeAndre Hopkins gets a first down.
Here's, here's another one. Like on the whole, because Fournier and I get into this argument this week on the whole, if you get rid of too many people, then what's really left? Because if you know you're not going to keep Mike Onwenu, then just move him now.
Right.
Right. You know you're not keeping him, move him now. If somebody wants to give you something, there will be a team out there so desperate that they'll look at Trent Brown and go, yeah, I can manage that for 10 games.
Sure.
Right.
Yep. And so,
if he was available right now as a right tackle for the Patriots and the Patriots had a real left tackle, they'd be in on
you
him.
You know
probably.
What? That's a great point, yeah. Arcan. Nope. That's that. You're exactly right. That'd be the kind of guy that they would want to go get.
Yep.
And I guess I mean it like that in saying a couple more weeks, because if you really do decide you're just going to get ticked and wipe out the whole chessboard, then you can start doing that at the deadline here in a couple of weeks. Holy cow.
Jeez.
Tight window.
Deadline's coming up, though, Gresh. You're right about that. I mean, it's coming up quick here. You got to make these decisions
pretty soon. Absolutely. And the Patriots will have some – just like Denver. Look, I thought of the Patriots that was able to get a win here along the way. You beat the Raiders. You get the 3-3. Maybe they'd be one of the teams looking at Denver. Now, Denver's going to put players up for auction. New England might be a half a step away. You know what? Chicago, with two of the top three or five picks in the draft, they might look to flip some of their veterans as well. We could. This could be a very big week in terms of the trade deadline when it comes to the NFL. Well, it was a big week for Brockton. Unfortunately, the folks at Pinkerton put it on him yesterday.
The Astros, tough.
The Astros?
Yeah, Pinkerton Astros.
The Pinkerton Astros. How does a school like that get the Astros?
Yeah, that's bizarre.
That's a weird one. That sounds like what your Little League team would, one of the Little League teams in Dedham, you know? When little Arcan in 10 years is playing ball in the... Babe Ruth. Right. There you go. Do they still call it Babe Ruth?
I think so.
I think when I played, it was Cal Ripken or something that, or they would have like Little League Pony League. That's what it was.
Yeah, we had Little League Pony, and then if you were good, you played in the Babe Ruth.
Yeah, there you go. That's what it was.
That's what it was in my town.
Now it's all names now. I'm sure that it's, you know, other than Little League, there's somebody connected to it. Well, Coach Wiggins will have his keys to the game. When does Protect Mac come up? I'm going to say it's number two. Find out next.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, more of the guys. This is WEEI Football Sunday on WEEI.
Yeah, boy. Now it's time for me to drop the knowledge on people. I'm Wiggy. The Brockton football team took it on the chin yesterday. However, when it comes to the Patriots taking it on the chin, well, Jermaine Wiggins knows the ways around that, ladies and gentlemen, here on WEEI Football Sunday. We'll talk Tom Kern coming up top of the hour. All right, Bridget, here we go. Coach Wiggins, keys to the game. Here's number one.
Coach Wiggy here, and my three keys for the game. Very simple for Patriots to get a win. Number one, Gresh, you're going to love this one. Establish the running game.
Wow!
You've been struggling on offense, but if you can get that running game going, it opens up so many things.
Who would have thought a one-win coach in high school football would be pumping up the run game? I love it. No, Wiggy knows I love that. And, he's really not wrong. I mean, one of the biggest failings of the Patriots offense this year for me was that they had been woefully awful running the ball. It's the one thing I didn't think they would suck at. And because they suck at that, it has led to a downfall in other ways on offense.
And they've fallen in a hole basically every game, yep. So they can't establish it. Last year, though, they rushed for 200-plus against the Raiders, so might be a tough.
They need that, yeah. Big time.
Yeah, that'd be nice. 3.3 yards per carry, 83 yards per game. One rushing touchdown on the year.
Not what I was telling people. Ramondre's going to have a big year in fantasy.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting yelled at by people. They're like, oh, my God.
Curran yelled at me for asking what was wrong with him.
Talk to him at 11.
Yeah,
get it back.
Now there's so much more wrong that it's like even picking out one guy here and there doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, Vedarian Lowe. It's all on him. All right, Bridget. Coach Wiggy, key number two.
Number two, make sure, and it's going to be very difficult to do this, slow down Davante Adams.
You know, the Adams is having a nice year. He's having a good year for him. He isn't setting the league on fire, but still, he's a bona fide stud. And you got to make sure that, yes, he doesn't kill you. But I'm a little more worried about the other people today. Adams could get his 6 for 90 and knock it in the end zone and be the guy to set up everybody else to eat, and you still get pantsed either way.
Yeah.
Either he can do it by himself, which he's capable of, or he's going to set other people up, and you better make sure that Jacoby Myers and the tight end Mayer don't skewer you today.
And that's the thing about this offense with Vegas is that they should be better than they are. You know, they have all the pieces and all the tools to be a really high-powered offense, kind of the same as the Saints. The problem is the Saints looked like a high-powered offense against you.
Yep.
And the Raiders at home, after a big win over over Green Bay last week, they may be riding that into this one, too. So, I don't know. I think that Adams, he can make plays at any part of the field. But you're probably right, Gresh. I'd imagine it's the other guys that might end up getting in the end zone.
Yeah. He gets 100 and a touchdown. It wouldn't be shocking for Adams.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, it's slowing him down. I don't really know what it – yeah, okay, great. You hold them to 50, but then what happens with the rest of the pieces? Like you said, the rest of the offense is pretty good, so they have a couple guys that can beat you.
Under 100 out of the end zone. I'll take that against the number one. All right, finally, here we go.
And number three, I'll be watching Mac Jones to see if he can find that confidence to help this team get a victory. That's the coach.
There you go. There's Coach Wiggy's keys to the game. And Mac will be watched more than just on the field.
Yep.
It's going to be everything off the field. I'll be curious to see how CBS chronicles this.
Well, they get the A-team again. It's Romo and Nance once again for Patriots Raiders.
So how about that? Romo and Nance. You know why? I looked at the...
Because they think it's going to be Bill's last game?
Well, no. I went down the schedule. There was really nothing else for them to kind of swap out. Like there was
bad slate this week. You're right.
Yeah. And you have another London game. So, of course, that's automatically... Like, believe it or not, even though the Titans might have just completely whizzed it away here with a second to go and set Baltimore up to be able to get a free field goal, like, that game's automatically protected. The networks had theirs. True. When you start to whittle it down, I think, Jags, Colts might have been the other. Mm-hmm. And without Richardson, who's hurt.
Yeah,
that game got less sexy pretty quick. Always sexy, Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston will drop the knowledge on us next as we break down Patriots Raiders on WEEI Football Sunday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.